From the studios of their respective lounge rooms, a team of pajama-clad TV tragics ready to slice, dice, and dissect the best and worst of what's on the box. It's TV Binge Box.
Hello, TV lovers. I'm Jo Casamento. Welcome to TV Binge Box, the podcast where we love to take a little time each week to chat the best and worst of what's on the box. As you may have noticed from the Maroubra Girl you are hearing through your AirPods or on your car audio this week, the much-loved melodic tones of Mr. Dan Bennett are sadly not with us this week. But the good news, I've got some other fellas here that are. It's a very big welcome to the man himself, Mr. Stephen Malk. Malk!
I'm still here, Joe. Thank you.
You are solid, reliable, as always, and I can't wait to hear what you think of the group binge, but I'm jumping ahead. And welcome back from the sin bin, Brookie. The man who always brings the gravitas.
Thank
Stephen
you.
Brooke.
Well, no, actually. thank you for the libeling I got last week. I
think that the popcorn. What did we say?
I got blamed for throwing
popcorn, gate.
Popcorn around your lounge room, which I did. Do. Gleefully. The bit you left out was that I was under instructions from a photographer, Belinda Rolson, who had been hired by you and who suggested that would make a fun photo for our Facebook group, which I have to say she was 100% correct on.
Yes.
She was right, but as I did send you a picture today, I am still finding it everywhere and I'm sure I will be for a long time to come.
It was
the money shot, though. It was
with love to you, Joe, is get a better vacuum.
ouch. My Dyson 7 needs an upgrade. All right, enough with this silliness. We have way too much to get through tonight, and I have Masked Singer on pause. So while the cat is away, the mice will play. I have decided to change things up a little bit just because I can. So a little later we'll be group binging the new drama series on Stan Little Birds, which I made you all watch, and I cannot wait to hear what you think. Plus, Brookie's back in the archives for another round of Rewind. But first, let's find out what we have been watching this week in
Clap or Slap.
Brookie, you're up first. What has been on
all
your
right.
watch list?
Well, first of all, a big clap to 12-year-old Leonardo Puglisi. He's a Melbourne schoolboy who has set up his own new show, which you can get on YouTube or via social media. It's called Six News. He was on the front page of the Age newspaper, my newspaper, a couple of weeks ago because he broke a story about a local clock tower. And he's been gradually building his profile and has become quite an accomplished young journalist. I was amazed to watch his news show that went out on Sunday night. It had live crosses to America. It covered COVID. It covered a few other important news stories. It was very professionally done. And then as his co-host, who should pop up but none other than Carl Stefanovic. It
oh
was
my goodness,
amazing.
Wow.
And Carl just, you know, read his read the bits of the script that he was asked to read and seemed to thoroughly enjoy himself. I don't think it's the last we have heard of Leo. And I don't think it's the last we have seen of some prominent Australian journalists going on his show. So check it out. Google Six News.
He's incredible. I did come across him on the Ben Robin Robbo show. I was on a slot after him, and he was far superior to me. And I have noticed he's got it all covered because that particular show is right up there on the Google, what are the matrixes to make it? Like, he knows what he's doing, that kid. He is unbelievable. Way ahead of the game.
A backyard operation. I couldn't really fault it. So big props to Leo.
And other than the sad news today at 10, he'll have a line of journalists needing a job.
Yeah, that is true. I have never got the appeal of Friends. So I felt during the 90s I was totally out of the group because I just watched a couple of episodes and I thought, this is nothing much. So anyways, I was lying on my carpet after a very hard day's columnizing, I noticed it pop up on Fox Hits, which is one of the seemingly endlessly renamed Foxtel channels, and I thought, right, it's time for a reappraisal. I'm going to find out what the fuss is all about. And you know what?
And?
I'm still wondering what all the fuss is about.
Oh, Brookie.
I don't know. I just found it a bit over the top and everyone shouting and everyone really obvious. And I think...
It was that whole 20-something, the idea of living together and having fun and sleeping with each other and in and out of houses. And it was
Memo to Joe, we're all in our 40s now. I think that ship has sailed. Mad as Hell is back on the ABC. I think it's as good as ever. It's had a real lease of life from the whole pandemic. Lots of jokes there. So The Masked Singer also back on 10. And it's pivoted very cleverly to deal with the pandemic. Couldn't get Lindsay Lohan back. But Ursula Carlon is on the show and she seems to have fitted in. I love this. I love the crazy costumes. I love the performances and I love the clues because there's a quiz every night. So that's the perfect show for me.
There is. Can I ask you something then? The one that revealed last night, I'm still trying to work out because the kids were so sure it was that surfer. And I was blown away it was Mark Philippoussis because I feel like that set at Channel 10 up the whole series to be going to be fantastic because if the first one out is Mark Philippoussis, I feel like we're, the standard's very high on the celebrity in terms of the instant.
Okay. Yes, he is.
No, I
he
do in terms of the instant.
Star. It, come on.
It was at Wimbledon.
And I think
And to get him singing.
But this is what you want. Yeah. You don't want current people. You don't want singers who are in the top 40 whose voices you might be able to recognise. You want high-achieving, established Australians who are out doing something different. And he obviously got a huge kick out of being on the show. And
yeah,
I do not
so
want
good.
endlessnews.com.au stories of how they have, you know, listened to the performances a zillion times and then worked out via the vocals. I want to be pleasantly surprised. And certainly that was the case last night.
So what were the broken surfboards? That was still what I was puzzled about.
Anyway,
we'll have to find
expertise.
That one out. Okay. Moving along. Sorry.
Early Saturday night, and then I noticed a film spotlight pop up on SBS, which details the efforts of Boston Globe reporters to break a massive pedophile scandal in the Catholic Church. It was made about 5 years ago. It won the big Oscar, and, you know, it didn't finish until about midnight, and I was still there. Seen it all before, so that's a testament to a quality piece of filmmaking. But my big clap or slap this week is a Sunday night mainstay of the ABC, which I put a joking reference up to on Twitter the other day, and I was really surprised by the response. It is Vera, which is a police procedural set in Northumberland, which is in the wilds of northern England. So think dramatic beachscapes, rolling vistas, very green, very sunny, also very cold, very windy. And the main character is Vera Stanhope, played by Oscar winner Brenda Blethyn, who is a aging, obsessive, single-minded, quite witty, quite sarcastic police detective. Been running for about 10 years. I think the earlier seasons are probably better. It seems to have just lately have fallen into a bit of a trap where the least likely suspect is the killer. But it's always fascinating watching Vera go about attempting to solve these cases. Very atmospheric. And you may have well seen her on the Mad as Hell takeoff, which very accurately portrays her as constantly abusing one of her sergeants, Kenny, who seems to be scathingly referred to in quite a few episodes. So it's not as graphic as some of the other programs we've discussed, such as Marcella, and not as intense, but one that you can watch week after week. That's Vera on the ABC, and I'm giving that a big clap.
Oh, nice. All right, well, thank you, Brookie. Mock. What have you got for us?
I've watched a bunch of stuff that Brookie watched, so he's covered it off more eloquently than
You should have jumped in, Malk.
Oh, the mask thing. I mean, it's people in masks. It's doing its thing. And Mad as Hell, you're right, is back better than ever, and I'm loving it sick. They're not missing an audience, but it would be great to sit in the studio with them again. Liar, season two, that is now almost the graveyard shift on Seven, thanks to an underperforming Between Two Worlds.
Which I am also still watching, I should add.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. I haven't gone back to episode 4 yet, and I don't know why. But we'll play that for another week. Liar, I am disappointed it's not as sharp as the first season, but I still have to know what happens. Johan Gruffudd and Joanne Froggatt are fine, but there's just something about the script this time around that seems like it's plodding along as opposed to, you know, the reasonably fast-paced six eps that the first season was. Who knows? It is what it is. Intelligence is the comedy that I warned you about the other week that is on ABC Comedy that stars David Schwimmer from Friends. Here's some crossover for you. As American, you know, sort of spy agent come to work with a fictitious British spy agency, and it's clearly he's been sent over there as damage control to sort of mop up a mess that he left behind in America or lived behind him. It's pretty funny. It's pretty sharp. Very British comedy, and I'm really enjoying it.
Is it better or worse than Friends?
Better. But Schwimmer's performance is equal.
Oh, that is a massive call.
Some really, really funny moments, but you have to be a British comedy fan to get it. I think Americans would not like it, generally speaking. Difficult People in SBS Viceland kicked off this week, I think it was. It stars, among others, Billy Eichner, who is one of my favourite comics. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his Billy on the Street stuff, where he runs around Manhattan with a microphone and a camera and performs essentially a quiz and asks people questions. Are they get the chance to win money? Or some of his later episodes had him dragging stars with him and going, does this person look like Matthew Broderick? And the responses from the people quite often are amazing, where they look at who's Matthew Broderick. No, that's not Matthew Broderick. It's really Matthew Broderick. Anyway, Difficult People is about him and a friend who are both comedians that are struggling to make it in New York. They are not just difficult, they are horrible people. And they get their comeuppance at the end of every episode. It's very funny. I did fall down a rabbit hole that I'm not used to, and it was a true crime doco situation. I'll Be Gone in the Dark looks at the book of the same name, but a documentary around the author, Michelle McNamara, who focused on the East Area Rapist, who became known as, now I cannot remember what their name was, the Golden State Killer. And it's phenomenal work. The sadly passed wife of Patton Oswalt, this has been wrapped up in sort of after she's passed away, but covers off the book and all the work that she did, and the idea that there's a whole sort of, you know, community of people that are amateur detectives helping solve real crimes in and of itself is amazing. And I'm absolutely hooked. All six episodes are on Binge, and I am three episodes deep and loving it sick. It's also on Fox Showcase. My two big claps this week, however, one is for the now infamous Jonathan Swan Axios The Trump interview.
Ah, Jonathan,
that was
yeah.
A HBO, it is a HBO series, also available in full on YouTube, and it's incredible. You may have seen
brilliant,
clips,
right?
You may have seen the memes. Huge applause to Jonathan. The fact that he got that interview and was able to be as direct with the president as he was.
So good.
Is out of years of relationship building with the Trump camp and the White House, and it paid off hugely. I don't know if he'll get another chance, but he certainly asked the questions and he didn't take any of the president's crap. It was amazing to watch. So huge applause to Jonathan there. The other one was a documentary I saw on Fox Showcase called Showbiz Kids. It's made by Alex Winter, the man you might know as Bill S. Preston Esquire, and it is incredible. It is about young child stars and them coming into fame and all of the craziness. It's interviews with a whole bunch of them, including, as you would expect, Will Wheaton, but also Todd Bridges from Different Strokes, Evan Rachel Wood, who you may have seen most recently on Westworld. Mm-hmm. She was a child star. Mila Jovovich, a whole bunch of now grown up, and sadly, even one that has passed, former child stars. Incredible, incredible story. All of the claps for Showbiz Kids on Fox Showcase. Definitely worth checking it out.
Okay, that's definitely one I'll have a look at.
Joe,
thanks, Mark.
What have you got for us this week?
Well, I thought it had been a quiet one until I started listing it, but I'll try and go quickly. I am, like you, doing a lot of the free-to-air stuff on TV with the fam. Strong end for Batchy in Paradise finale. I came back. I have to say, we were intrigued in the end, and we were loving Mary, who got her man, and seeing the demise of Kieran. That was kind of fun to watch. Mind you, for anyone who did watch it with that ridiculous long blonde hair of his, go over to his Facebook page. He's chopped it all off and it's pink. It looks very different. Anyway, we're also doing The Masked Singer as you guys. Osha can do no wrong. Is that man just like, he just gains in sex appeal every year, old Osha. Got to say, the everywhere man at Channel 10. And I took Malk's advice and did Speed Cubers, the doco on Netflix about the Rubik's cubing world of competitive sport that has turned into this worldwide phenomenon. It's as lovely as you said,
You
Malk.
Made that sound so
and
lovely,
I agree.
Malk, last week.
Oh, the I couldn't not watch it, and especially I was turned on by the fact it was 40 minutes, so it wasn't a big investment. And the relationship between the, you know, highly autistic Max and Felix, it's just too divine.
Did you watch that with the kids?
I want to go to a convention. I didn't, actually. I didn't, but I should show them. Truly, it was just beautiful. And if COVID wasn't on, I would want to go to a convention for sure. How they just flick that cube in one hand is amazing. So I did adore that as much as you did.
Yes.
Of course, The Real Housewives of Potomac. Word on the street, fellas. Do any of you know what that means? Who's back? Word on the street. Ah, that's her catch cry. Giselle is back. She's back with her cheating pastor. And this is so many levels of shady wonderfulness.
Amazing.
I can't tell you. And before I get to my clap or slap for the week, I'm halfway through the Marvel franchise, fellas. 10 movies
well
in. I think I got 10 to go. And my son and I are doing it. And we were divided over Captain America Civil War. That's the one which sees the Avengers divided into two camps. One by Cappy Cap Steven Rogers, who wants to remain free of government interference. And the other by Iron Man Tony Stark. Where were you guys? Because we were divided. He was a Captain America fan, and I was so firmly in the place of Iron Man in this instance. Boys,
I like the ideas of that film, and you know, it tried to inject a bit of political education into a Marvel franchise. So I'm all for that. Well, Captain America is far more handsome than Iron Man, so I think I probably agreed with him.
Oh, I think I like the cheekiness of Robert Downey. Anyway, sure. Now there is a new plastic surgery show on Netflix called Skin Decisions, Before
How
and
have
After.
Have I missed this?
How have you missed this? If you like Botched or 90210, I thought this was what we were going to be getting. It has plastic surgeon Dr. Sheila Nazarian and never heard of this, an esthetician. Anyway, she's called Nurse Jamie. I think that's a skin doctor.
Sure.
And the premise is they help people make, you know, feel better about themselves. And having been sort of dabbled in that genre before, I've watched Botched on and off over the years. I always close my eyes at the actual surgery bits, but it is intriguing. You've got to say boobs and lip surgery and tummy tucks
always.
And ass implants. Always, you know, interesting. But this is one with a difference. These two actually dig deeper and get to the emotional reasons for these people seeking surgery. I know you're shaking your head, Malk.
Of course.
But it
do.
Is truly compelling TV. I'm not kidding. Because the first episode alone starts out with this woman. We meet the first patient. Her name's Katrina. Her husband shot her, I think, 8 times before turning the gun on himself. And she has these 8 horrific bullet wounds. Then further into the episode, we find out that he also shot their 2 children. And seeing the physical scars of what this woman has had to deal with, which is nothing compared to the emotional scars, obviously, but seeing how healing her body physically, and part of it is she's got this tattoo of the ex-husband's name on her that she has removed. It's actually really moving. I've got goosebumps thinking about it. It was just a layer extra. It pushed the narrative further than any other plastic surgery makeover, you know, boobs and Botox show I've seen. So I've got to say, I'm going to give that one a big clap.
Nice.
There you are. So that's what we've been watching this past week on The Box. How about you? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're at TV_BingeBox on Twitter, or join our gang of rambunctious Facebookers on TV Binge Box Podcast Gang over on Facebook, and you'll get lots of ideas from there if you are surfing channels and don't know where to stop. That is where you will find a real lowdown of what's on. Time now for a quick round of...
Rewind.
Brookie, what have you been revisiting, apart from Friends? Oh, well, that wasn't a revisit. That was a new visit for you.
Well,
this
it's
week.
So interesting because the show popped into my head. I have no idea why. And I thought, I bet that Joe has done this one before. So I was away last week and,
yes.
In fact, listened in today to the podcast as I went off to the gym. And then you were doing the rewind and it was Desperate Housewives. And I thought, no, I was
going to
do the other show, which is, of course, Sex and the City.
Oh my goodness.
So, I almost want to play the theme song.
And
it's so good.
It is still available to watch on Binge and Foxtel. And part of the reason I wanted to do this was that we had a great post on the TV Binge Box page a few weeks ago, I think, where somebody put up a post saying, what's your comfort watch? What's your go-to that you have on?
That was a good post.
And
yes.
You don't really
in the
need
background.
To pay that much attention to. And I've gone from someone who would devour Sex and the City every week. It first premiered in 1998.
Really?
And I, that time of my life, I was in share accommodation. I was actually, I think, for part of it, living in the Canberra. Working at the press gallery, and we'd all sit down. I think it aired on a Tuesday night from memory on Channel 9, and we would all sit around and watch it. And
that really surprises me.
Come on.
Was it the light relief?
Brookie is such a Charlotte.
Well, again, that was the whole thing. And I think that what has stayed with me are the characters, the four main characters, Carrie Bradshaw, Samantha Jones, Charlotte York,
so
and Miranda Hobbs, because that was not an uncommon topic of conversation back in the late 90s, early noughties. Are you a Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte, or Miranda? And, people, it could get quite het up as to which of those four central characters you went for. It's
And who were you?
I was obviously a Carrie.
Who did you identify with?
I was a journalist.
Oh, please.
Oh the main star?
Please.
Of course.
And I think that is what has stayed with me for this show. It might look a bit technically unsophisticated now. The fashions may well have dated. The drama is a bit simplistic compared to other programs that discussed women and their relationships that have come after it. It's certainly not as graphic as shows that have followed, but I still think that the four main characters really resonate in their relationships and ups and downs, and comedy is still to the fore. So it occasionally pops up on free-to-air digital channels as well. I think maybe 10 Peach, perhaps. Sure. I think that it now has become a show where you can dip in and dip out, even though it was quite structured in its season arcs. Normally, which were normally based around a big romance or heartache that Carrie was
Mr. Big
going through. And it remains a pleasurable TV experience.
I'm so with you. It's a bit like Seinfeld, isn't it? You can just watch it over and over again. Even if you've seen that episode a dozen times, you can still rewatch it. It's funny you say that. I was thinking about it only this morning, Sex and the City, and I wondered if Carrie's chain-smoking character would date, if younger people watching it now would find that really weird. You know how she was such a chain-smoker and it was just such... I miss those girls. I really miss those girls and their wardrobe. Samantha, what
and
a great
I
one.
Did. I just liked also a little small touch, but the question that always formed the basis of her column that popped up at some point on her laptop in every episode, and she would type it out very quickly, and that would become the theme around which the whole thing was based.
That was the question, yeah.
Yes. I met Candace Bushnell when she was out a few years ago. The real Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh,
yes, she was at the Star. She was every bit as fabulous. I'll have to send you my photo. In fact, I'll post it for you. All right, well, thank you very much, Brookie. Another great one to check out. We have to take a very quick break. break, but don't go anywhere because we're heading first into Group Binge on the other side of this.
Ben, Rob and Robbo.
Media executive Rob McKnight.
Something brand new is coming to your social media feed.
Big Brother winner Ben Norris.
This is something bold and informative with a side of humour.
And journalist David Robbo Robinson.
It's truly going to be something different.
The Ben Robin Robbo Show starts April 20. Go to tvblackbox.com.au/BRR for more information.
It's the Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo, Ben Robin Robbo Show.
Yes, the Ben, Rob and Robbo Show is beaming into your TV Black Box social feeds and over at Ticker TV every Monday through to Thursday from 1 p.m. Check it out. It's got a great audience vibe too. You can Facebook your messages in as it's running. But time now for our
Group Binge.
And this week I had the boys, I hope that's why Dan decided he had to work tonight. I had the boys, I don't think so, Dan's a softie at heart. I had the boys watching the new 6-part British drama Little Birds, which has started streaming on Stan. It's 6 1-hour episodes. It's steamy and I think it'll take any Melburnian through lockdown. Parties, drinking, sex abound, all swirled in a dreamlike aesthetic of rich jewel tones, which kind of pop in every scene. It weaves together stories of private desire and public politics against a backdrop of hedonism and conflict to deliver a modern tale of freedom and feminism. The series springboards from the erotic tales of Aeneas Nin into the Tangier international zone of the 1950s. It stars Juno Temple, who you guys may remember from Dirty John or Atonement, as New York heiress Lucy Savage. Mm. She's like a caged bird. She's fresh off the transatlantic steamer and ready for love and marriage in the sort of exotic climates. But when her husband Hugo, played by Hugh Skinner from Fleabag, turns out to be a bit of a dud, let's be honest, does not greet her in the way she expects. She spins off into this sort of surprising, diverse, seedy and degenerate sort of world of Tangier in 1955. Forget being a period drama about, you know, a young girl abroad. Little Birds is a contemporary and daring tale of a woman losing and then finding herself down a mesmerising rabbit hole. The press release promised to be a bold and submersive reinvention of melodrama for modern times. Little Birds was promoted as taking the audience and all the characters on a witty, moving and distinctly provocative journey towards freedom and independence. And from the minute we meet the dominatrix Sharifa on the screen, who has someone in a dog collar and in a gas mask, and then she relieves herself all over, well, Mark, it certainly delivered on that promise, right?
Look, we saw this interesting hodgepodge of...
I thought that was a nice way of saying it.
Sexually.
Was that a nice way of saying
things.
It?
It was diabolically bad, honestly. I just was lost from the first minute. And other than the underscoring kind of, Lucy and her husband have, you know, been connected and dad's involved because he wants to make deals because he's a big gun dealer that wants to be bigger than he is. I just found it was all over the place. It was bright pastel colours and incredible music and lots of weird people and lots of sort of sexy things, but not really. I mean, honestly, for some of the stuff that's meant to be these really sensual or sexual moments, I just looked and went, that looks like... You'll need a big shower after that.
Oh, okay.
Sex was certainly a hallmark of this series.
Oh.
Oh my God, this is the difference between men and women.
No, don't play the gender card tonight, Joe Casamento. I actually think that this possibly had the worst opening scene of any drama that I have ever experienced, where Lucy Savage is meeting with a slightly creepy psychotherapist who then details that she has to take the pills that he is going to prescribe to her. She was a weirdly passive, dull, washed out, totally uninteresting character to base a TV series around. And I know that the Anais Nin short stories were considered very raunchy in their time. I think the world has passed them by because there was a bit of squeaky bum sex on the beach between Lucy Savage's husband-to-be Hugo and the relieving episode, as you described, by the dominatrix, which really left me cold. And I sort of thought, man, I think you're trying to shock us or be really way out there. But look, we live in an era of internet porn, and I think everybody sitting down to watch that would have seen it all before. I also think there's a real danger in taking something that you love, which clearly the producers and the writers do, these short stories, and thinking that literature is going to make it as good television, because this so clearly didn't. And look, I loved the whole sound of this. I like the fact that it was set in, I think it's Morocco in the 1950s, and that we were going to learn about colonization and empire, and there were parts of it that recalled Casablanca, I thought, with the French colonial experience in Africa. But they just sort of warped it and made it terribly uninteresting and, I thought, cliched and over the top. My big exception to that were two incidents. One where there was a brilliant line delivered by Lucy's mother where she wanted to make the voyage over to Africa, but she just said my spastic colon wouldn't allow the trip. And I hope that things would pick up in that kind of witty vein. They didn't really. And then Nina Sosania as Lily Von X, who played a sort of marvellous, I thought... she was a madam who had come out for the voyage to establish herself over in Morocco. And I had high hopes for her, but I thought underused and a lot of glowering looks. And I just, it failed to engage me whatsoever, Joe.
Oh, so you found it limp and not sexy. Do you think it's something that you'd ever find on a commercial network? Though, I mean, I know you've said it's something, you know, we've all seen before, but do you think it was risque enough? Do you think it's something that any of the commercial networks would air?
Probably not, but then I thought it was desperate, try-hard sexiness rather than something that was genuinely erotic or interesting.
Oh, wow. Okay,
but Joe,
well, fellas,
tell us what you think.
I've got to
say...
Joe?
Who cares about us because we're just men? Let's have a woman's touch on this one, Joe.
It ticked all my boxes. I am so sick of cold crime and noir and Nordic this and everything Marcella and darkness and doom and gloom. It has beautiful sets, beautiful costumes. That filter you talked about to me was like watching someone's wonderful Instagram page. Everything was just turquoise and sunny and gorgeous. It was lovingly crafted. It had for me, eroticism. I thought it had a bit of historical accuracy. I loved the wonderful sort of mix of race and culture and, you know, you had Egyptian, Spanish, French, Moroccan, American, English, all in this heated bubble. You may call it disappointing and limp. For me, I found it rather titillating. So, and that's my tongue pointing out to you all.
Okay.
I don't even need to ask. I wish Dan was here because I really am intrigued now whether he'd hate it too. Okay, girls.
Dan.
If you want to, you know, if you're alone in bed at night, put it on your late night
Dan
TV box.
Dan can come back and give us his opinion next week. Yes, I'd rather hope he would. For me, I am going to give it a 2.
Two. Okay, Malk.
Look, you're lucky to get one from me. I did watch all of the episodes, though, Joe.
You watched 6?
Just to make sure I've
got my
last
one to watch
something.
Malk, why do you put yourself through it?
Was it worth it?
Do you know what? You know the problem here, boys.
We have identified the problem of it.
None of you have been in it.
I thought I was just going to tell us there's another problem.
None of you have been in a marriage, and without giving anything away, where the innocence of the fairy tale you're sold ends up being so disappointing and spirals into this other place. And I think Lucy Savage and her character really... I think that was delivered in, you know, her journey towards freedom and independence was shown.
Okay.
So there you are. I'm going to give it 4.
Good on you, Joe. Back yourself.
Thank you.
You're wrong,
Radio
but
dancing. All right. Well, we've got to wrap this up, but we need to talk about next week. Mm. And we did put a post up, didn't we, guys? I put one up this afternoon because we were at a bit of a loss about what to group binge for next week. And I'm certainly not putting one out there again because you guys just destroy me every time. Can I just say that The Real Housewives of Potomac, when I put it up on our Facebook group binge, had, quote, "Potomac is a gift." That was from Renee Pope Monroe. Absentia is getting a lot of ticks. Indian Matchmaker is a favourite.
Can I say, Umbrella Joe, I got Academy. Phoned up by my colleague who I spent the whole day writing a column with, who then said to me, oh, I think Indian Matchmaker. And I'm sort of like, excuse me, what are we writing about Indian Matchmaker? And
what are we, the important things of the day.
I didn't even realise that my colleague Sam had joined the group. And that was her vote, and she delivered to me in person.
Well, my personal mentor and goddess, Sandra Lee, put in Goliath, which she says is brilliant, so I'm going to have a look at that. There was a big call for Yellowstone, including from my gorgeous stepdaughter. But we have, I think you've decided on something, Brookie. I'm not taking any claim for this.
Okay, I'll own it. I'll own it.
You'll own it. What are we going to watch next week?
I've not seen an episode of it, but you are taking some responsibility for it, Joe Casamento, because your rewind last week was Desperate Housewives, which had Australia gripped in the noughties. It was created by Mark Cherry. Now we're looking at his latest production, and props to Kieran Moore, who's just joined the Facebook group, and also I think to Katrina Capolupo, because they both suggested in no uncertain terms that the program that we had to do, and it's on SBS On Demand, is the dark comedy drama Why Women Kill. So Mark Cherry created this for CBS All Access in the States. It's set in multiple time periods, and it depicts events leading up to a death that occurs after the respective husbands of three married women commit adultery. So it's 10 episodes long. There's already coming back for a second series. Lucy Liu is one of the stars, and I've always quite admired Mark Cherry because I think that he gets the tone right and he can very successfully mix up comedy and drama. And I did want to shout, I was actually walking down the street listening to the podcast, shouting out at you guys, Melrose Place, Dynasty and Dallas, and I felt very much that Desperate Housewives was a natural successor to those big super soaps from the 1980s. So I'm really interested to see how, 20 years later from Desperate Housewives, you know, give or take a few years, how Mark Cherry has moved things on, because I think that he can very successfully pick the zeitgeist out. And definitely by the comments from Joe Women, who have posted on the TV Binge Box gang page, they're giving this one a big rap. So us men are very much looking forward to mansplaining to them whether they're right or wrong next week.
Well, they are very wise people over on our Facebook gang page, so we're very much looking forward to checking that one out. I am for sure, and giving you our thoughts next week. And please feel free to comment, guys, and let us know exactly what you're thinking. You can jump onto our TV Binge Box podcast gang, such a tongue twister, Facebook page for more of them. And I liked one, there was a list being created for someone born post-1990, I think, on what she's missed out on in her life. That was a great post. You've got to add to that if you haven't, and all these old timers are throwing in their 2 cents.
Thank you all 1,044 members. And I think we're not even 2 months in. So tell all your friends to join up because
they're missing out.
People seem to love being there, and we love having them.
We do. Huge thanks, as always. That brings us to the end of this, by the way, guys. As I said, I've got Masked Singer on pause. Got to get down there. The kids are waiting. End of Binge Box for today. Thank you, Malk. Thank you, Brookie. Where can we find you when you're not, doing CBD?
Well, you can find me on page 2 of The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald doing the CBD column. or you can find me on Twitter at Viscount Brookie, or I quite regularly hang out on our TV Binge Box Gang podcast Facebook page.
Well, it is the place to be, right? I feel like I'm cheating on Twitter by hanging out on Facebook. I really am. But I'm at JoeCasamento1 on Twitter and Joe.Casamento on Instagram. I have two Facebook pages, so, you know, message me on either. Thanks to everyone for listening. We really look forward to your company again next week for more TV Binge Box. Dan will be back in the chair next week. Until then, we are out.